We've had some really good questions that came in last week. We talked about how does God reach out to those who are so adamant about not following? And this week, I have to be honest, this is was our most frequently asked question. It came up over and over and over again in so many different ways. And so I'm really excited about going through it. In fact, it addresses the single most important thing that can impact the life of your children and the life of your family today. So if you're a parent, you want what's best for your child. You want what's best for your child. You would do anything. You would do whatever it takes to keep your child safe, provide a safe life for them, to provide a healthy life for them, and to make sure that you can do whatever you can to lead them forward, to make them better, and to give them happy lives. I mean, in fact, when you have a child, there's not an owner's manual. I mean, we're getting ready to have a child, and I've heard all the stories about the sleep patterns just don't seem to be in agreement with the way you like to sleep. And when a child cries when they're a little baby, you know, it's like nobody gave you a list of what you're supposed to do to make your child stop crying. You have to figure out, okay, is there a dirty diaper? Okay, no, that's okay. Or hey, you know, are they hungry? No, that's not it. Or, you know, maybe they just need to be held. Okay, that's what it is. And so, you know, there's not an owner's manual, so parenting is hard work. And I'm not even a parent yet, and I've just seen that with you guys, and I say, man, you guys are my heroes. Parenting is hard work. I've got a lot in store for me as Mandy and I have little Peyton on the way in August. So, but you will do anything you can to help your kids to grow. In fact, you take them to school because you want them to learn. You know that it's important that they grow and they learn and they become smarter because that will help them in the future. You tell them when they're young, drink milk. Drink your milk all up because you want them to be strong. If they get sick, you make sure you take them to the doctor because you want your kids to be healthy. You want what's best for them. If they're kind of sitting around bored in the summer, you say, goodness gracious, let's find a summer camp. Let's find extreme games camp or other camps, and let's get our kids plugged in because we want our kids to not be sitting around the house. We want them to be enjoying their time and maybe even learning about Jesus along the way. You want your kids to be well-rounded, and so you register them in sports or in music lessons or dance or whatever hobbies they might enjoy because you want them to be well-rounded. We want our kids to become the people that God's created them to be fully. And all of these things help your child, but there's one thing. There's one thing that can shape your child more than anything else, beyond anything else, all these things that we listed. The single most important thing that can impact the life of your child is a growing relationship with Jesus. And I know I'm supposed to say this because I'm a pastor and all this stuff, but I've experienced this. I've seen that. When God grabs a hold of the life of a kid and a life in our lives as well, all of a sudden, holistically, we become better forever. We become better people in everything that we do. In fact, I mean, it's when we connect kids or a child to the God who created them and who loves them and who wants what's best for them, suddenly, when we fall short as parents and as leaders, then God can step in the gap and to do sometimes what we can't do in and of ourselves. So, as the wonderful parents here at the Fountain United Methodist Church, the big question, because you love your kids so much, the big question that keeps coming up and the question we're addressing today is this. How do we lead, or how do we disciple our family to be truly led by Jesus? How do we disciple our family, or how do I lead my family to having a growing relationship with Jesus all the time, in all circumstances? I mean, how do we do that, especially during the busyness of the week? It's easy to do that here at the Fountain, but man, when we go back home and everything's going crazy on Monday through Friday, and then even on Saturday, how do we lead our kids? Or how do we do that in times of crisis? How do we lead our kids and disciple our kids in stressful situations? That's what we're talking about today. So before we get going, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's guidance over this time. Lord, we know that you have a message to give to us, and Father, we want to receive it. Help the words that come out of my mouth, help them to be yours. And God, strengthen us and help us to know, as not only as parents but as leaders, how we can disciple not only our kids but people all over the place. Whether we're parents or not, we know that this message has something for us because, God, it's all about discipling people. Would you train us? Would you help us? And God, give us grace where we need it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you want to know how to train your child to follow Jesus in all situations? Not just on Sundays when it's easy, but all the time. Through the stressful situations, through the busyness of the week, through everything. Because You know, let's face it, when things get difficult in life, when everything else in life is going crazy with your family, with so many other things, the chaos is at its highest, and when life just happens to get messy sometimes, the one thing that remains constant in our lives is Jesus. You know, I think of the story of when the disciples are on a boat and everything is just crazy, like the waves start kicking up like crazy, and all of a sudden Jesus comes and says, "Be still." And he calms the storms that were raging all of a sudden becomes calm. And it's a reminder that when that's like our life, when our life is doing that, when things around us are going crazy, that the one thing that can give us peace and can say, "Peace, be still," and the one thing that's constant in our life is Jesus. So we know it's important to connect our kids to that. And so this morning, I want to equip you with tools, not just pie in the sky stuff. I want to give you practical tools on how you can disciple your kids. So are you ready? So go ahead and take your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 9. If you don't have a Bible, we've got free Bibles out on the coffee table. Feel free to pick that up and write your name in it. You're not stealing from the church. This is our gift to you. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, this gives us a model for how to disciple our family. And as you turn to that, let's go ahead and stand in honor and reverence of the reading of God's Word this morning. This is Moses writing. He says this: "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. You can have a seat. Well, awesome. Well, Moses, to give you a little background, to catch you up on where this passage is taking place, Moses is giving instructions to these people who had just recently been freed from slavery in Egypt. And so, you know, the only thing they knew was slavery. And if you're a slave, I mean, you don't know how to do anything on your own. And so we often think, when we hear the word command or decree or laws, we say, "Ooh, I don't know about that. I don't like that stuff." And maybe sometimes it might feel like a burden, but the reality is when God gives the people these decrees, laws, and commands, it wasn't something to lay a heavy burden on the people. These were people that didn't know how to live life on their own. They'd been slaves. People made decisions for them every day. They never made their own decisions. People told them when to work, how hard to work, when to stop working, when to rest, and they even told them what to eat. The Egyptians gave them rationed food. They didn't get to choose anything. And so all of a sudden, God frees the people from slavery in Egypt. And they're like, "All right, great, we're free." But they don't know what to do. They've never made decisions on their own. And so God says these words that are really grace. It's not something to burden the people, but it's words of grace that basically telling them how to live with their newfound freedom. Kind of different way to see God's commandments and what God is trying to tell us. That God is not an overbearing parent. That God is giving us these commands so that if we obey, it will go well with us, as the text says. In fact, one of the things in here is called the Shema, which is really the most important verse, the verse in Scripture that sums up everything that Scripture is about. And it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." In other words, love God with everything that you've got and with every ounce of who you are. That's what God calls us to do. And as we do that, God can do things in and through us that we never imagine. But instead of focusing on that, I want to look at the discipleship aspect of this. Did you notice that helping people grow in God is a relational task? Did you notice that? He's talking about so that, you know, you got to get it and then tell your kids and then tell their kids. And as you do this, your whole family things will go well with your family as you obey God's commands. And so discipleship is a relational task, and it still is. As we're discipling or leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus, it's always a relational thing. It's always something we do in relationships. It's about a relationship that's centered on God and being connected with one another. And so the people are being instructed to be in relationship with God, and if they obey or if they follow God, then it will go so well with them. And so many times we see this all throughout the scripture where people say, well, maybe we'll go a different path and see what happens. And they go a different path and all of a sudden they find out, oh, this isn't life-giving. This is not a good thing for them. Maybe God really had my best intentions going on. And so if they obey, if they follow God, things will go well with them. And it's still the truth for us. But discipleship as a whole, or the process of becoming process of following Jesus, is something we are called to do alongside of one another. It's a team effort. It's a team game. And in fact, God created the family to be the primary place where weekly discipleship happens. Now, before you say, oh goodness, that's a lot of responsibility on me, this is something where by God's power and by God's grace and helping one another to grow in God, that we can be able to disciple our family and to help them to grow. You don't have to be perfect parents. We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll flesh that out. But it happens first in the family. But people often think that they can do this Christian walk on their own. You know, that's a big thing here in America especially is, you know what, I know Jesus and I read the Bible and stuff, but there's, you know, like I can just maybe do this Christian walk on my own. But let me tell you this, the greatest barrier to growing in your relationship with God is isolation. The greatest barrier in growing in your relationship with God is isolation or being left alone. And let me tell you, it's easy to do that in the suburbs. We live in one of the most challenging places to find community. And you would think that it would be the opposite, but the reality is, and we've got so many people around us all the time. We go to the store and you're shopping and you see all these people and you're around people all day. And you even say to the clerk, you know, the clerk checks you out, hey, how are you doing? Hey, how are you doing? Kind of thing. But there's not any community that goes on. You talk to people, but you're not in relationship with people. And then after working all day or wherever you've been all day, you come home, you pull into your driveway, the garage door comes up, you pull in, the garage door comes down, and community from the outside world is shut off. This is the suburbs. This is the life that we so often have gone after. But the challenge is that God didn't create us to live alone. You know, the most popular phrase that I hear, since we moved here, and I'm from here anyway, but we've been talking to families and saying, what's the number one thing that you're looking for? I don't mean like churchy stuff. Like, what's the thing you want more than anything? And people say over and over and over, I want relationships. I want community. I want to know people. And it's the whole thing, they're trying to say, I want to be in relationship with other people. And it's because God's created us to be together and to do this thing together. In fact, Bob Tuttle, who was my evangelism professor, said this. He said, you get left alone, you get picked off. Now, that might be a little bit intimidating. You get left alone, you get picked off. But what that's trying to say is if we try to follow God alone, we'll get frustrated real easily. We'll get tired in our walks. We'll get burned out. And sometimes we'll even get lazy. And sometimes if we're not in relationship with other people, people will start getting on our nerves because we say, oh, I wish people would just get on board and be able to follow God the way I do. We got to be in relationship with other people because God softens our heart and holds us accountable. It's important. And so people often wonder, why do you need to go to church? Why is it important? Well, it's because the greatest sin in the Bible is self-reliance. You see this in Genesis chapter 3. That Adam and Eve said, no, I don't want to do it your way, God. I want to do it the way I want to do it, and I want to do it on my terms. But that's still something that goes on over and over and over. Self-reliance, the greatest sin in the Bible, and even in our lives, is self-reliance. But the greatest barrier to your faith is isolation, and those are both tied so closely together. I want to do it on my own, or let me be by myself. But the reality is God created us to be in community with one another, and that's how discipleship happens. In fact, John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist Church back then in 1700s, he said this, the Bible knows nothing of solitary religion. Now that's real high language to basically say, we're not created to do it alone. The Bible doesn't talk about doing this Christian faith alone. And so God created us to follow Jesus together. So the first thing I want to talk about is this. In discipling your family, I want you to notice this in the text, that God tells them to hear God's commands and to obey. Hear God's commands and obey before they can pass it on to anybody. before they can pass it on. So do you really want to know how to get your kids on fire for God? Do you want to know how to help your family to grow in a relationship with Jesus daily in your household? The first thing is this. It starts with your growing relationship with Jesus. Turn to your neighbor, and I want you to tell your neighbor this. It starts with my growing relationship with Jesus. Tell him that. Starts with my growing relationship with Jesus. The best way to illustrate this is this way. We have three cups here. And this is the way God has created us to disciple one another. Is that we become filled up with God. And all of a sudden, we're able to pour in to our kids, to pour into people around us. What we've got from God. And we're able to fill them up in ways that we can't do in and of ourselves. That's the way God's created us to do it. So as we're filled up, we can go and we can go and pour into other people. But as parents, or even just as people who are trying to disciple other people, oftentimes we try to disciple people like this, where we take an empty cup and we try to pour in something that's not inside of us, or something that's not filled up in us. And when we do that, we run dry. We don't have the ability, and we keep shaking and trying and trying, but God didn't create us to do it on its own. The greatest sin in the Bible is self-reliance. And so as God fills us up, as we focus on our relationship first, it starts with my relationship. Then we have the ability to pour into our kids life-giving things of God, and to pour into them as parents and as disciples in ways that we never could do in and of ourselves. That's the way God's created discipleship to happen. In fact, you can't pour out what's not filled up in you. You can't pour out what's not filled up in you. And so many times we want to lead our children to follow God, but we're doing it with an empty cup. And the most important instruction I want you to know today is to remember the first thing, that it starts with your growing relationship with Jesus before you can lead your kids. And so if you want to disciple your children to having a growing relationship with Jesus, you've got to be growing first. And so there's so many ways to do that, but the vine and the branches. Jesus says, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. And he says, if you connect with me, then you'll bear much fruit. You'll be able to do things, I'll be able to do things through you that you can't do in and of yourself. But apart from you, you can do nothing. It's kind of like the empty cup approach. But we've got to be growing in our relationship with Jesus by connecting to Jesus. And so there's so many examples of ways to do that. Number one, you've got to have a relationship with Jesus. Ask God to be your Lord and your Savior. And if you'd like to do that, I'd be glad to pray with you to do that. But to be reading Scripture daily, opening your Bible and reading God's Word. And if you need help on where to start, I'd love to help you. Turn to Gospel of John is a great place to start. But there's a lot of places that you can go, and I'd be glad to help you with that. But reading your Bible. Coming to church and worshiping together in community with one another. That somehow when we sing together, I mean, you can sing Chris Tomlin in your car. I mean, it's on 104.7 The Fish. But there's something special about, man, when we all get together and all the, you know, we join in with all the angels in heaven that are singing holy, holy, holy. We're joining in the unending hymn together. That worship is made as something to be done as far as the singing and this corporate worship. Something to do that we're supposed to do together. There's something special about that. So read Scripture, worship, also pray, you know, and your prayers don't even have to be like, you know, these awesome, you know, whatever prayers. I mean, when I first started ministry, I thought, I can't pray with a hoot. I know so many other pastors that just, man, they pray these awesome prayers. And Lord, you know, why can't I pray like them? And I realized God doesn't want me to pray like them. God wants me to pray from my heart. God wants us to pray from our heart and the way that we pray and to talk the way we talk and to not say, oh, Lord Almighty. You know, God wants us to talk the way we talk and to ask God real things that are going on in our life. God, I need you to help me. My kids are struggling right now. I don't know what to pray, but God, help them. You know, give them grace where they need it. We need to be praying daily. And you know what's really cool? If you start praying for other people, all of a sudden God starts changing your heart to make it where the world's no longer just about your little bubble and our little bubble, but all of a sudden you pray for other people and God captures your heart and you realize the world's a lot bigger and you realize that you're a part of something big that God's doing in this world. So be praying, reading your Scripture. Another thing, you can join a refresh group. We're going to start some up in the fall. That's a great way to be in community, read Scripture together and be held accountable, or find a place to serve. There's a lot of ways you can grow in God, but parents and people anyway, we got to be growing in our relationship with Jesus. My football coach used to say, you either get better or you get worse. You never stay the same. I used to hate that because I'd go into workout and I'd think, ugh, let me just stay the same because I don't want to have to push harder and work harder. And the reality is that in sports, if you're not working hard, then somebody else is going to pass you up. But the reality is in the spiritual life and our walk with Jesus, that if all of a sudden we stay stagnant and we're not pursuing Jesus, then we'll start taking steps backward. We need to always be connecting with Jesus, who's our source in our life. And so if you want to know how to, I mean, I know you love your kids, parents, more than anything. But your primary calling is not to your kids. Your primary calling is not to your kids. Your primary calling is your relationship with Jesus first. And here's how it works, that if you're growing your relationship with Jesus, your kids are going to see it. They're going to feel it. They're going to be impacted by it. They're going to be changed by it. It's going to rub off on them. It's kind of like the flu. If you suddenly get the flu, if I get the flu, and I'm around David, David's probably going to catch the flu because he's around me. And it's kind of that thing, too, that as parents and as people, as we're filled with God, if we're filled with God, all of a sudden, it's going to rub off. And as we're around our kids, Jesus is going to rub off on them. That's how discipleship happens. And so that's why our relationship with Jesus is so important. And so it starts with your growing relationship with Jesus. Second thing to get that is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 7 says this. These commandments are to be upon your hearts. We just talked about that. They're to be upon your hearts, guiding your lives. You're to follow God with everything you got. And then it says this. Impress them on your children. Impress them on your children. It doesn't mean you force your children to follow Jesus or anything like that. But how can you make an impression on your children to follow Jesus? I think the best way to disciple your children is to model for them. Model for them the spiritual walk with Jesus. Think about this. Every kid, when they're little, I know you have teenagers and you say, oh, this is not true anymore. Every kid wants to become like their parent when they're young. Every kid wants to be like their mom or their dad because you're their hero. They think you're the greatest thing in the world. In fact, you know this when little girls, they take their mom's shoes, their mom's high heels, and they put their mom's high heels on, and they start walking clumsily through the living room or wherever. And we laugh, and we think that's so cute, but the reality is that little girl looks up to her mama and wants to be just like her. That's her hero. Same thing with the little boys. There's a wonder why they make those little teeny tiny lawnmower push mowers. It's because when their dad's at son's watching his dad out there mowing the grass, the thing he wants to do is he wants to get his little push mower and help him mow as well because he wants to be just like his daddy. In fact, the Rodney Atkins song I think sums it up really well. It's the song that says, "I've been watching you." And the chorus of it, whether you like country music or not, there's some good truth there. So if you don't like country music, you can deal with it right now. But anyway, it says this. The chorus says, a boy talking to his dad, "I've been watching you. Hey, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you. Eat all my food and grow as tall as you are." grow as tall as you are. "We like fixing things and holding mama's hand. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, dad? I want to do everything you do, so I've been watching you." See, the best way, I mean, he speaks the biblical truth better than I can, is the best way to impress God on your family and on your kids is to model for them because your kids are looking for somebody to follow. I mean, people used to think that if you just learned everything there was to know about God, you go to seminary and you read the Bible upside down one another, all of a sudden you'll become this awesome, awesome disciple. But so many people know of God. They know everything there is to know about God. But God hasn't filtered into their life because they don't have a relationship with God. It's not about knowing who God is and knowing everything about God. It's having a relationship with God. In fact, head knowledge doesn't make up for heart knowledge. That we're to love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our strength, with everything that we've got. And our mind is included. But it's got to trickle down to our heart as well and infect our lives. And you know, one of the things that is really sad is that I think that there's a whole lot of people that are going to miss heaven by 18 inches, the distance between head and heart. Folks, I want the Fountain to be a church and a people who are changed not only in their head and know everything there is to know about Jesus, but more importantly, I want it to trickle down to your hearts. I want it to trickle to your lives so that your lives can be changed, so you can be better people and you can go out and change the world. That's what I want for your life. Head knowledge doesn't make up for heart knowledge. In fact, Romans 10:9 says this. It's how to be saved. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Head knowledge doesn't make up for heart knowledge. Your job, parents, is to impress Jesus on the hearts of your family. And you can do that best by modeling for them. Now, if I'm going to go and teach you how to throw a curveball, I can tell you everything there is to know about a curveball. I can say, okay, hold the ball with your index finger and your middle finger. And what I want you to do is you throw the ball, I want you to flick it really, really hard, and I want you to point with your index finger at the place that you're going to throw it. And you'll be like, what in the world are we talking about? I don't understand how to throw a curveball. I can tell you and tell you and tell you, and it's important to teach and to tell people things. But the best way that we can disciple people is, what if I come alongside of you? I invest in you and I grab your hand and I say, let me show you how to hold the ball. Let me show you how we do this in this family. Let me show you how we follow Jesus. That's where we're going here. Let me show you how to hold the ball. You hold it like this. And now, when you throw the ball, you twist your wrist like this, and you point at them with your index finger like that as you throw the ball, and all of a sudden, you're able to shape and mold and invest in your kids. That's how you make disciples. That's kind of how you parent, too. Just as you parent, that's how we're called to make disciples, to get involved even with the spiritual lives of our kids. I mean, you don't have to have all the answers. In fact, one of the biggest things I want you to know is you don't have to be a pastor to disciple your family. In fact, you do a better job discipling your family than I'm ever going to do. But it takes you investing in your kids, investing in their spiritual lives, asking them how their life is going, and training them up, showing them what it looks like to daily follow God. If you belong to Jesus, the Holy Spirit's living in you and can empower you. You have the gifts and grace to do that. And so your kids are looking for someone to follow. They are. They're looking for someone to follow. And that's why when they get a little bit older, they have a little boy has his favorite baseball player. And, you know, maybe he's got a decent swing, but he sees his favorite athlete, like Chipper Jones. And he says, oh, Chipper Jones stands like this. This is the way I want to stand in the batter's box. And they imitate the people that they want to follow. Same thing when a kid gets a little bit older and maybe they start dressing a little bit scandalously and you say, what in the world? Where did you learn that? It's like, well, I'm trying to dress like my favorite pop star. You know, your kids are looking for someone to follow. Your kids want to follow people who will invest in their lives. And so the biggest thing, spend time with your kids. Spend time with your kids. Spend time talking with them, not only about life, but about God. And again, you don't have to know everything there is to know. But when's the last time you shared with your family your testimony about what God's done in your life, about what you've experienced, about things that God has taught you? That's one of the best ways you can disciple your kids and say, you know what God's teaching me right now? Let me tell you this. God's teaching me this. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, okay, this spiritual walk is not something that you're supposed to do behind closed doors, that we do this as a family. This is something we do together. So another practical thing, what if before you go to bed, you take your family and you grab your Bible and you begin to read it to your kids and to your family together? And maybe you don't know what everything says, but you're modeling for them something important, that this is a family that maybe we don't have all the answers, maybe we don't have it all figured out, but the Word of God's important. We know it transforms our lives, and I'm teaching you and training you that this is important, and we're going to learn together what this means. And what if you did that before you go to sleep at night? I mean, what if you ask your family members, how can I pray for you? What's going on in your life right now? What's going on at school? What's something I can pray for you about? Because what you're doing when you ask them that, first of all, you're saying, you're that important to me that I want to invest in your life, and I'm not just going to throw up a pie in the sky prayer, that I want to really, really pray because you're important to me, and prayer in this family is important. You know, Proverbs 22, verse 6 says this, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And parents, I want you to know God believes in you. God believes in you. And you have the power by God's Holy Spirit living within you to be able to disciple your family. And bringing them here to the fountain is a great place to start. And we want to continue empowering you to be able to be the best disciple makers for your family and to the ends of the world that you can be. And it's a constant process. You never get there. Invest in people. Invest in people and be willing to talk about your relationship with God openly. Last thing is this. What happens when it gets hard? What happens when it's difficult and when you're going through a rough patch in life and maybe life's just chaotic around you? There's just crazy stuff that just keeps coming at you and you say, what in the world and when will this end? How do you disciple your family then? I mean, when it's really hard like that, how do you disciple your family? Well, let me answer this question by asking another question. It's kind of like the way Jesus does it a lot of times. Jesus asked the Pharisees another question. Well, the question I want to ask is this. What's the story you want to tell? What story do you want to tell? You see, I mean, when you go through a rough patch in life and you're writing a story for your kids, you're writing the story for your kids right now when you're going through whatever situation you're going through. So what's the story? What story do you want your kids to tell? Looking back on it, what do you want your kids to say about the way you handled situations? Do you want your kids to say, you know, we experienced this horrible thing in our life. It was bad and it was hard on my parents. But, you know, when they came in a time like that, they checked out. They maybe act selfish or like a baby or, you know, they decided to quit. And, you know, we stepped away from God. Or do you want to write the story that goes like this? That, you know, this season was really hard in our life. It was really hard and it was chaotic and we didn't know how we would get out of it. But all of a sudden, my parents clinged to Jesus. They stepped up and clinged to Jesus and we didn't have all the answers. But my parents right then became the hero that I always hoped and thought that they were. They're my hero because of the way they responded. What's the story you want to write for your kids? You have an opportunity to do that in everything that you do. Write the story you want your kids to tell. You don't have to be perfect in your life. You have a perfect Savior who loves you and who cares for you and can empower you in ways that only God can do. Write the story that you want your kids to tell. And so the three things for today. It starts with your relationship with Jesus. You're growing your relationship with Jesus. The second thing, model for your kids a growing relationship with Jesus. And then in times of trouble, write the story you want your kids to tell. We're going to respond in kind of a different way. It's going to be very interactive. But there's a story that comes with it first. Moses has led everybody up to the promised land. Moses died before he got to enter into the promised land after they escaped from Egypt. And all of a sudden, Joshua brings them into the promised land. And there was a whole lot of chaos they had to go through. And they had to go through a crisis of defeating the Canaanites that were really big. And they looked like grasshoppers in their eyes. It was really scary. But once they were in the land, they made this covenant with God. And the covenant is in Joshua chapter 24. And the words will be on the screen there. Joshua chapter 24, 14 through 18. Here's how it goes. Joshua says this, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers, that your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He models for them something important. And notice how the people respond. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord, to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers out of Egypt from the land of slavery. And performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us in our journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations among the Amorites who lived in the land." And here's how they respond. "We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." They make a covenant right there, Joshua and all the people. And so I want to invite you to make a covenant this morning as well. Kind of a very much like Joshua did, to stand with Joshua and say, you know what, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if that's something that you want to covenant with God, we're going to sing a song that says that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I don't want us to, if you really believe this, if you really want this to be part of your family and in your life, I want to invite you to stand and sing this at the top of your lungs as a war cry and as a covenant, like you're signing the deal with Jesus and saying, as for me and my house, we belong to Jesus. We're going to do everything we can to follow Jesus. Let's make this our prayer as we respond to the message today. Let's stand and sing this song.